Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider, not your own lips. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. One who is full loathes honey from the comb, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that flees its nest is anyone who flees from home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend, or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're taking a look at some Proverbs. That's right, we're taking a look at the Book of Proverbs and how they reflect on friendship, because we're looking at the Berenstain Bears' faithful friends. That's right, it is another Living Lights book. It's a little morality tale for you. And this is from the year 2009. It's by Jan and Mike Berenstain, and it's a bit of a sequel to one of the books we read earlier. This is a follow-up about Sister Bear's new friend that we met in a previous book a few weeks back, her friend Susie, who was a bit of an outcast at Bear Country Elementary School. And now Sister Bear has become fast friends with Susie, but trouble looms on the outside. Trouble looms, because I like saying looms like that. Trouble looms with her friends, specifically with her best friend, Lizzie Bruin. What happens when another friend enters the picture? What happens when you make a new friend? There's actually a poem about that that the Girl Scouts would recite. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver, but the other one is gold. And I don't know why they just didn't use that. I mean, I guess that's not a Bible quote, but it actually fits into the story a lot easier than the Bible quotes they chose, which are from the Book of Proverbs. The book opens with, just do not forsake your friends, Proverbs 27:10. And it's got a little picture of a couple of dolls next to each other. Supposedly they represent Sister Bear and Lizzie, I guess. But what are Proverbs? Like, you hear about Proverbs all the time, but what exactly are they? Can anyone tell me? Well, Proverbs, a proverb is a saying. It's a pithy, quick saying meant to teach a lesson or whatnot. And the Book of Proverbs is, of course, from what some people call the Old Testament of the Bible, the Tanakh of the Bible. Some people call it the Hebrew Bible. But it is a book of sayings attributed to Solomon. But some versions of the Bible actually attribute it to Solomon, and then like the friends of Solomon, and some versions of like English translations don't attribute it to Solomon. Really, that like from the era of Solomon, or from like the kingdom of Solomon. It's actually a collection of sayings and poems and, you know, longer explanations and a little bit of like a bookending device. They collected like all these sayings and proverbs and then put them all together and then sort of gave it a little bit of shape. Apparently, it took them a while to like this. This was over many generations that they collected the proverbs in the Book of Proverbs. But the whole point of the book is that this collected wisdom was supposed to help you live a better life, and not like a moral life, but like it's sort of like a here, I'm going to just sort of teach you everything that you could possibly learn throughout life. Here we go. Bleah, and now just sort of absorb all that. Take that in and now you're a better person. And so you've got like a section that's supposed to be like the sayings of Solomon. And you got sayings like from later on in Solomon's life. You got a section called the words of Agur, the words of King Lemuel of Massa, which his mother taught him, and a whole section on what makes a good wife, which is kind of weird and kind of a crazy way to close out a book in the Bible. But in any case, there's a whole like a mess of them. There's a whole mess of sayings and proverbs in this book of Proverbs, which is I mean, if you've read Hamlet, it's kind of like being forced to sit in a room with Polonius for a while. Like, that's what the book of Proverbs is like. Just little pithy sayings. Proverb, by the way, is, of course, not what the word was in the original. It's a Hebrew word, mashal. I don't know how to pronounce it. But there, it's like proverb is a translation of that. So we know what a proverb is. A mashal or a mashal, again, I don't speak Hebrew, is not quite what we think of as a proverb. They can be like riddles and longer stories and sort of anything meant to impart wisdom to another person. But proverb, I guess, is close enough because that's what people know them as now. So this book opens up, of course, with "Do not forsake your friend," which is from Proverbs 27, which is very long. I mean, it's not super long. It's longer than what I read at the top there. "Do not forsake your friend" isn't the whole thing, of course. Let me see. It says, "Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family." That's important. Like, it's not just your friend, someone whom your family holds dear. But I like what it says. "And don't go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away." I don't quite grasp the deeper meaning behind that, but I do like the idea that it's like, look, you make sure you got friends living nearby. I don't care if, you know, you got a really, if your cousin who you love very much lives in Bemidji, it's going to be quite a drive up there. So make sure you make friends in your neighborhood. You can't go to Bemidji every time you need, like, I don't, what do people borrow? Like, every time your lawnmower breaks. People borrow lawnmowers, right? Yeah, they borrow lawnmowers. So you can't go to the Bemidji every time your lawnmower, every time disaster strikes you, you can't run off to your relatives. You got to have friends nearby. And don't forsake them. Don't forsake them. Which I guess is, like, kind of what this book is about, faithful friends. This is definitely a book about faithful friends. And I will say that this book actually takes a couple of Bible quotes and applies them a lot better than some of the past Living Lights Berenstain Bears books have. It's also got a great opening splash page of all the cubs sitting around the old fishing hole with their rods in the water and a bunch of woodland creatures nearby. It's a really great intro to the book. And these Living Lights books, I'm going to say, these like 2009 era Living Lights books, so far I am really enjoying the illustrations in them. The book starts us off with a little backstory about Sister and Lizzie Bruin. They've been friends for a long time. And we get some flashbacks to some of our previous books. We get a flashback to the sleepover. It says, "Lizzie Bruin and Sister Bear been through a lot. They once had a slumber party that got a little out of hand." We get a little, like, reimagining of the slumber party trials and tribulations of that. It says they were in a school play, the time that brother forgot his lines. And that was the Berenstain Bears. The Berenstain Bears get stage fright, where they did Rumpelstiltskin. And they built their own clubhouse when brother kept them out of his. And we get a little reimagining of No Girls Allowed. So I like, you know me, I love it when there's callbacks to previous books. I love it when they acknowledge the not always intense, but the present continuity in the Berenstain Bears books. And it makes sense because I believe it was the Berenstain Bears and the Trouble with Friends, where Lizzie is introduced, which was the first book where I, as a reader, realized there was an overarching continuity. So they play dress up in dolls. They rode their bikes. Just, it spends a lot of time showing you that Sister and Lizzie are pretty good friends. However, Susie McGrizzy came along. Now, remember Susie, when she was introduced a few books back, she was the nerd that nobody liked because she read and was weird. She had pigtails and wore strange clothes, which is funny because Sister Bear's been wearing the same pink outfit for 50 some odd years at this point. But Susie, and it goes into a little bit of that story. Sister invites Susie to play and they become good friends. And she joins their peer group. So she is the friend in the peer group with glasses and braces. And it's, again, funny because, like, Cousin Fred has glasses and it's a bit of a nerd, but, you know, we don't really think about that because he's Fred. And I guess there's, like, a sort of, like, gender double standard when a girl's like that. I don't know. But Susie's cool. She likes astronomy and she introduces Sister Bear to the wonders of astronomy. She lets Sister look through her telescope, which reveals the surface of the moon. The moon from Bear Country is very, it's like crystal clear. Like, you can see You can see it's so close, you can see the curvature of the moon. So I assume that like something happened in Bear World's past that brought the moon a little bit closer, which probably means the tides are a lot worse in Bear World. I don't know. All I know is that either Susie has a monstrously powerful telescope in her yard or there's something wrong with the moon. So then one day, Susie and sister go out catching butterflies. They get lost in their day. They catch a bunch of beautiful butterflies. They don't pin them down or anything. They just catch them and let them go. Sister finds a beautiful yellow striped butterfly. And on their walk back to the house, they pass by Lizzie and Anna and Millie, who are pushing dolls in their wheelbarrow, as the bears, we know the bear cubs do. We know that from as far back as The Trouble with Friends, that they transport their dolls in a wheelbarrow. And they're like, hey, you know, what's up? Susie and I are catching some butterflies. You guys want to hang out? And Lizzie is suddenly really aloof and is like, no thanks. We're going to go play Barbie dolls in the garage. And you guys look like you're pretty busy, so, you know, we'll see you later. And they walk off, and there's some weird feelings. Sister gets pretty ticked off. And they go to the house, and brother is there with cousin Fred. They're loading up the tackle box, getting ready to go out fishing. And brother's like, oh, hey, Lizzie and her, you know, your other friends were here looking for you. And Lizzie was pretty ticked off. Like, did you do something to her? And she's like, ugh, she's mad that I'm playing with Susie. What business is it of hers who I play with? And brother's like, maybe she's jealous. And sister's like, jealous? Like, this idea hadn't occurred to her, even though we've dealt with jealousy in the past. She's like, jealous? And brother's like, sure. I mean, like, you guys have been best friends for a long time. And now you're suddenly hanging out with... They talk about Susie as if she's not there, which is a very polite thing to do to a guest. She's worried. She's like, maybe she just thinks you like, maybe she thinks you just don't like her much anymore. Like, you know how that is. And she's like, what are you talking about? I like Susie fine, but Lizzie's always going to be my best friend. Sorry, Susie. I mean, I'm not kidding either. She's like, look, Susie's great and all, but Lizzie's always... And she's saying this right in front of Susie, which, you know, I guess maybe if you're the new friend, you understand that in your heart, but it's kind of hard to hear. Like, this guy's fine, but I'm not going to, like, fall in love with him. Little side note. It reminds me, and this is completely not like what we're talking about, but it does remind me of this. When I was in... junior high, I was in theater class, and we got assigned Shakespeare scenes we had to work on. Very good to assign eighth graders Shakespeare scenes to work on with no guidance. They're very good at directing themselves in the plays of Shakespeare. But I got paired up with a girl in the class. We'll call her, I don't know, Coca Canny. We'll call her Canny. And I got paired up. I'm trying not to use real names. I got paired up with Canny, and I'm just gonna call. Her name is Shelly. I can't call her Canny the whole time. That'd be ridiculous. I got paired up with this girl Shelly, I won't even say that I got a crush or anything. She was just a girl in class, and we got paired up doing Romeo and Juliet, the balcony scene. But soft would light the yonder window breaks. It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Arise, fair sun, and kill the envious moon, who is already sick and pale with grief that thou, her maid, art far more fair than she. Great scene. Famous Shakespeare. I got paired up with Shelley, and we're working on it. But Shelley had this boyfriend named Chris, who was a large boy. I was in eighth grade. Shelley was in eighth grade. I assume Chris was in eighth grade, but I think he was like 19 years old. He went to our school, but he looked much older. He was a football player. Big guy. And Shelley's paired up with me, and we have to like call each other every once in a while to like run lines because we have to do this long. It's a long scene in Romeo and Juliet. Get paired up. So we talk a little bit outside of school, which is kind of weird for someone who's not actually your friend. It's our first time with like study groups. And I'm rehearsing with Shelley one day in class, and she's like, oh, Chris got really mad at me. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, Chris got really upset that we were doing this scene together. And remember, this is eighth grade. We're all like not very like wise at this point in our lives. And she's like, Chris got very mad at me. And he was like, do you love that Phil guy? And I was like, what? And he was like, that Phil guy, are you in love with him? We're in eighth grade. Remember, we were in eighth grade. And she said to me, and I was like, Chris, no, it's Phil. Or they called me Philip at the time. It's Philip. No. And she's telling me this. And I'm like, oh, of course not. I mean, of course not. That would, that's ridiculous. Why would anyone... I mean, of course, look at me. Look at me. Of course not. That would never happen. That could never happen.
ever. I don't remember why I felt the need to burden you with that story at this point. Oh, because poor Susie is kind of in the same boat. Sister's like, Susie McGrizzy. I mean, come on, Susie. Like, I hang out with her, but it's Susie. That's not what this book is about, though, because Cousin Fred butts in because he likes to memorize things. I like that they say this is because he likes to memorize things, not because, like, Cousin Fred knew a lot about the Bible. Cousin Fred knows words. Cousin Fred remembers words in the order in which they appear. He says, you know what the Bible says? Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Then it says Fred liked to memorize things. He didn't like to memorize the whole saying, which recontextualizes what he's about to, what he is saying. But wounds from a friend can be trusted. And brother and sister both like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, we were discussing something, Fred. We didn't ask you. What does that even mean? And Susie's like, I think it means that a friend who loves you, that when a friend who loves you hurts your feelings, you need to find out what's bothering her. Now, this is a stretch, but it's kind of true. The whole saying is, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Which, on one hand, means if you really need some kisses, and sometimes you do. Sometimes you just need some kisses. If you really need some kisses, probably best to turn to an enemy. Think about it. Think about it. You really need some kisses one day and you're like, I'm dry on kisses. These lips of mine have been unpressed for quite a while. But I know this guy who hates me. There you go. Not just a guy who hates you. That's not really your enemy. A person who hates you isn't your enemy. Your enemy is someone who's actively trying to, like, defeat you in some way. So, like, this guy at work who's been, like, attempting to sabotage me so I don't get that promotion. I'll be right back. And then kissing ensues. I guess that's what the Bible means. But it says wounds from... So basically, I mean, what it's honestly saying is, like, you can trust the hurt caused by a friend more than you can trust nice things from an enemy, because an enemy is going to always be self-serving, but a friend's pain, what a friend does is always done honestly, from the heart. So even if they hurt you, at least you know it's because they, I don't want to make this sound like it's sort of abusive friendship, but like, when your friend, you just take that to heart more. Like, oh my God, my friend did something hurtful. Well, that means more than when your enemy does something nice, because it's your friend. Well, it's your friend. So in a way, I mean, yes, you should go see what's bothering Lizzie. I mean, also Lizzie's being the jerk here. I don't know why sister's the one who has to take the initiative, but in any case, brother's like, you know what? Fred and I are going to go fishing. Let's grab some extra fishing rods and we'll go over to Lizzie's, see if they want to go fishing with us. Sister's like, and Susie's like, I guess I have no choice in this. There's a woman who hates me, but I guess I have no choice in this. I mean, you are my only friend. So they head down the road, and I can't overemphasize just how wonderful these pictures are. There's some great pictures here of the cubs doing their cub thing, and just like these nice, like, detailed splash pages, not splash pages, but like full page illustrations of the cubs, like, doing the cub thing and going about their cub lives and being cubs. Like, I think that's really fascinating. Like, that there's a lot of attention to detail in these Living Lights books that are cool. Everyone looks slightly different than they have in the past, but I'm fine with that. You know, it takes a little getting used to, but the style is really neat. So they go over to Lizzie's place where they're playing with their Barbies. Anna and Millie are there. And she's like, you want to go fishing with us? Sister's like, I want to go fishing. And Lizzie's like, meh. But Anna and Millie are like, you know what? I'm sick of the Barbie dolls. We're apparently doing it in the shack. So we don't want to play Barbies in the shack. It's hot. Let's go fishing. It'll be nice. So sister and Lizzie and all of them head down to the fishing hole. And while they're there, while they're fishing, Lizzie gets a snarl. Let's see if I can. Yeah. Lizzie gets a snarl in her fishing pole. And sister helps her fix it. And she says, thanks, you're a real friend, sister. And sister's like, I always have been. I always will be. And together they picked away at the tangled fishing line. And that's how it ends. It ends with sister and Lizzie still being friends, still being good friends. They love each other. It's a good time. We don't know what happens with Susie. Like, I noticed that they've sort of given up on that. Like,
Susie being like, I was the one, I'm still a good friend. I'm a good friend. I'm sure we'll deal with her later. I'm sure we'll get back to her. But right now, it's time for activities and questions from Brother and Sister Bear. Talk about it. One, how can you invite new friends into your friend group? Wow, right off the bat, difficult question. How can you invite new friends into your friend group? Well, assuming you're meeting in person, how do you invite new friends into your friend group? Well, when you're a little kid, it's kind of, your friend group's malleable. It's fluid. It's changing all the time. Your friends one day won't be your friends the next day. Friend groups are weird. I mean, yeah, you may have your one or two who are always going to be your friends. Trust me, that's not guaranteed. If there's any kids listening to that, it's not guaranteed. However, how do you invite new friends into your friend group? Well, if you're a kid and you want to invite a friend into your friend group, it's like, come here. Hey, come over here. Come over here, okay? We're playing jacks. Or whatever kids play these days. I don't know what kids play these. Do you play jacks? Do they have jacks? I don't know. I had to explain jacks to Mitzi once. It was a long process. But when you're an adult, how do you invite friends in your friend? How do you invite friends? Well, that's a little bit harder and a little bit easier at the same time. A little bit harder because once you get past the age of 30, you don't make friends anymore. You just don't. Like, that's biology. You just can't. You're physically incapable of it. The other answer to that is, who has a friend? I don't have a friend group. I don't know. What's a friend group? I do have friends, though, who have friend groups. And, like, so, like, it's my birthday party. And they'll invite a certain group of people to a birthday. I had a few people over for an outside gathering around my birthday time. That was it. I've had a few people over. I guess that way, yes, that's a good way to do it. You invite a few people over. Make sure there's at least two people in the group who you know talk to each other, can have a conversation. And then you invite one or two other people who are kind of outside that. And you, like, just sort of like, then you're like, I got to go inside and use the potty. And then you leave and you hope they talk. That's how you invite friends into your friend group. Two, have you ever felt left out by a friend? Yes. Yes, I have. Have you ever felt left out by a friend? All the time. Have I ever felt left out by a friend? Yes, of course I felt left out by a friend. I'm a human being that many people find irritating. Of course I felt left out by a friend. Story time. I probably told this before. I once went over to my friend's house. I was in elementary school. Once went over to a friend's house, unannounced, which we used to always do. Parents didn't set this stuff up. I just went over to my friend's house. And I was like, hey, can Ben play? It's a friend named Ben. It's not his, that's his real name. Can Ben play? And his mom was like, oh, sure, Philip, come on in. They're in his bedroom. I'm like, who's they? Well, I get in there, and it's Ben and another friend of ours and a couple other kids. And I show up, and I'm like, hey, and they're all playing Transformers, which is like Jackpot City. I'm like, hey, I don't say that. I don't talk like that. I'm like, hello. And they look up at me. And they look around at each other. This is my memory. This probably isn't what happened, but this is how I remember it. They look at each other. And then Ben, my friend, goes, let's just go play outside. And they put I'm like, you don't have to put the transformer. They're like, let's just go play outside. Knowing full well that's a good way to get rid of me. Yes, I felt left out of my friend group. So what do you think God would want you to do when that happens? I don't know. They keep asking me this. I don't know what God would want me to do. I have no baptize them. I'm not sure. I don't know what God would want me to do in that situation. Forgive them. I'm not sure. Proselytize to them. I have no idea. I do not know what God would want me to do, the Berenstains. Your books have taught me a lot, but they've never taught me the mind of God. They never taught me the mind of God. Three, do you like to do different things with different friends? Yes, I identify as male. I identify as male. That's all I need to explain. That's what, psychologically speaking, that's what they always say about guys. They're like, guys like have their, they're like, they have like their movie friends and they're like video game friends and they have their sports friends. They have their like sitting around eating snacks friends, but they're not like women. Women have friends like this and men have friends like this. I don't know. Do I do different things with different friends? You're assuming I have a lot more friends than I think. You're assuming I have enough friends to split events. Like I don't have that. Name some things you do differently. I just tried. I can't. I don't know. I guess I have some friends that like in the past, I'm like, ah, it's a, that's a friend I'll talk about this with, and this is a friend I'll talk about this with. But you know what? It's mostly that. It's like, you're my friend that I like to talk about. I don't know. Yes, I do. Get out and do it. One. What? Okay. Design a constellation. A group of stars that make a picture. Tape a piece of black paper over the end of an empty toilet paper tube. Use a pin to poke holes in the paper in a design. Look through the tube at a light to see your constellation design. I mean, I guess it's a thing you can do. Do it. Hey, kids. Design a constellation. You can name it after me. Challenge to my listeners. Design a Berenstain Bears constellation. That's my assignment. Design a Berenstain Bears constellation and turn it in. Hand it in to me. Take a picture. Send it to me at berensteinbearcast@gmail.com. Take a picture of your Berenstain Bears constellation. Mail it in. Send it in. I don't know. Postmark it. P.O. Box 152, Phil's Awesome Lane, 555555. And let me see it. I want to see your pinhole constellation. Bonus points if you do a constellation of me. Two, draw a fish outline. There's more to it. Don't worry. I'm not just being obnoxious. Draw a fish outline. Fill the outline with crayon textures, cut paper, and other materials to create eyes, mouth, and textured scales and fins. Make a paper fish. Make a paper fish. Why? Because they go fishing. Because they go fishing. And I will make ye fishers of men. That's not in this book. They don't talk about that. Jesus does that. He makes people fishers of men. Because man is the most dangerous game. That's not from the Bible either. Three. Play follow the leader. Take turns being the leader. Now, I don't know what this has to do with the book at all. It's like they needed a number three. And so it's like, I don't know, change your socks. It's irrelevant. Follow the leader. I mean, it's a game. I guess you can do. I don't even know. Is there rules to follow the leader? Is there a way to play follow the leader? Follow the leader. Song by the Soca Boys. Nope. Follow the leader. Studio album by Korn. Follow the leader BMX. Studio album by Eric B. and Rakim. Song by Wisin and Yen. There's a lot of songs called Follow the Leader. Aspiring musicians out there, it's not as creative a title as you might think it is. Follow the Leader. Are there rules to Follow the Leader? Let's find out. It's a children's game. Players first choose a leader or head of the line, and the remaining players, the followers, and that's in italics, so you know, like, it's an official word. The followers all line up behind the leader. The leader then moves around, and all the players have to mimic the leader's actions. Any players who fail to follow or mimic the leader, out of the game. Why? I don't know why you wouldn't follow the leader. But when only one follower remains, that player then becomes the new leader. And the game begins anew with all the players joining the line once again. Now, what you may not know is that in Minnesota, we have a different way of choosing this, of doing follow the leader. Much like in Minnesota, we don't play Duck Duck Goose. We play Duck Duck Gray Duck. It's the stupidest conversation anyone's ever had. Please don't talk about Duck Duck Gray Duck. Please. It's so stupid. I hate it so much. Much like Duck Duck, Gray Duck, Duck Duck Goose, in Minnesota, we play follow the leader like this. Instead of the remaining player becoming the new leader, it's ranked choice voting. All right, so they play follow the leader. So, yes, that's the Berenstain Bears. Faithful friends, as you can probably tell. You can't tell if you're just listening to this, but I bought this book. Listen. Let's follow the leader. What's hilarious is I was looking for this book. I couldn't find it. It was under my child's bed. And now it has strange sticky stuff on the back. Don't know what it is. Don't want to know. But it's a good book. I like this one. I think it pairs well with some of the earlier books in the series. And that I like the sort of ongoing saga with Sister and her friends. I like learning more about Susie. I like that Sister's sort of opening up to having different types of friends and different things she enjoys doing with other friends. I like the message about checking in on a friend if they seem upset. Even if they seem upset with you, you can be stubborn and wait for them to bring their problem to you. But again, they're old friends. Maybe check in if your friend seems mad with you or something. Did I do something to upset you? That's a good way to start the conversation. Hey, I'm just, did I do something to upset you? Don't say it confrontation. Hey, did I do something to upset you? Don't say it like that. Did I do something to upset you? Say it like that, as gently as possible. Hey, did I do something to upset you? Say it like that. That's a good way to be a good friend, a biblical friend. As far as like incorporating the Proverbs, hey, good job. They only use like half the proverb each time. That's fine. It's for kids. And a child is like half a person. So they only need half the sayings. But as far as like this being a Living Lights book, I was like, okay, we're getting some actual like, this is a proverb that applies to the situation. And a kid who learned about this in, say, Sunday school or, I don't know, Hebrew school, like, I could see them being like, you know what? I remember this thing that so-and-so told me. Check in with your friend. But also, you don't need to read the Bible to know that. Like, I can tell you that right now. If your friend's upset, go check in with them. Or as the Girl Scouts say, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver. One's gold. The other is gold. The other one is gold. Gold's more valuable than silver. By the way, so that means that your old friends are more valuable than your new friends. Tell your new friends that while they're stick. Say that to your old friends in front of your new friends. Keep them in their place. You don't want them starting to think they're gold. Let them know they're silver. You're my second place friend, you can say all the time when you're with them, whether alone or with a group. Just want you to remember, you're my second place pal. And that's it. You can order this book. It's available in like digitally as well or physical. I highly recommend this one if you want to add it to your bookshelf. If you're like, I want to get more of those faithful friends, like Living Lights faith story books because they're good and my kids like them. This one doesn't say a faith story on it, actually. It just says Living Lights. So it doesn't say a faith story. It just says Living Lights. I don't know if they changed that logo or something. If you're listening to this and you know more about the Living Lights series and why they may have changed the logo or the saying that went along with it, it used to say like a faith story. Is that different? Are there different? Are there books that are like, this isn't a faith story? This isn't a faith. We're not going there with this one. This is just a Living Lights book. I don't know. So check it out. It's not expensive. It's a Berenstain Bears book. And that's it. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can find me online at BerenstainBearcast.org. You can find me, or is it .com? I don't remember. You can write to me at BerenstainBearcast@gmail.com. And you know how I'm always like, nobody ever actually writes to me. Like, no one ever really writes to me on BerenstainBearcast@gmail.com. You remember that? You remember how I always say that? That's like one of my running jokes. Well, I got an email from a listener. I got an email from a listener about a week and a half ago, and then I went on vacation, so I didn't really have time to mention it. I went on vacation to Michigan, and it was awesome. But I got an email from a listener named April, who spent 22 hours in the car with her family listening to my show, and that is probably the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It is so wonderful to hear from listeners. She wrote to me. I wrote back to her. She wrote to me. And she wrote to me she found the show by Googling Save That Tree, the Chainsaw Gap one. So, yeah, that's, I thought it was amazing. So thank you, April, so much for writing to me. You can write to me as well, BerenstainBearcast@gmail.com. If I get an email and it's not like weird or anything, maybe I'll respond to you. So otherwise, I'm, you know, gonna keep doing this show for a while longer, I guess. I got a pretty cool interview coming up, so hold on to your seats. And I will see you all next time, deep in bear country.